Well, good morning. It is good to see you all here today on this day of worship. We have been going through some sermons over the last 4 weeks about Christmas. I titled the sermon series Christmas Originals. We've talked about the original announcement, the original couple, the original, ornament. And today we're going to talk about the original Christmas tree. When you think about Christmas and you think about the one symbol of Christmas that really makes it Christmas, it has to be the Christmas tree, right? I mean, if you don't have the Christmas tree, I mean, that's the first thing, you know, once you get past Thanksgiving, at least it was a tradition in my family that right after Christmas, right after Thanksgiving, we put the Christmas tree up. And most of the time, when I was growing up, we would go get our Christmas tree. We'd go buy a real Christmas tree and we put it up. And I remember one year, my mother had this bright idea to get a Christmas tree that had been, I think they call it flocked, you know, where they put the white stuff on it. Oh, what a mess that was. We had a dog that constantly was brushing past it, and the dust would, you know, the stuff would, it was a disaster, and we never did that again. But we always used to have a live Christmas tree, and it was my job to water it, so I had to crawl underneath the Christmas tree and put the water in the stand, which was great for me, because while I was down there, I could look at all the gifts and find out which ones were mine. But as my parents got older and my sisters moved out of the house, and oftentimes they weren't able to come home for Christmas, and so my parents bought our first artificial Christmas tree, and we had that tree for many years. But the Christmas tree seems to be that symbol of Christmas. That's the one thing that you always have to have. If you don't have the Christmas tree up, it's not Christmas, right? It seems to be kind of the attitude that we sometimes have. And so, But what I want to talk about today, what I have in mind, is to try to lead you in a different direction. What was the original Christmas tree? It was not pre-lit, it wasn't artificial, it wasn't decorated with ornaments or lights. It was a tree, though, that had a light on it, but it was the light for the world. The original Christmas tree that set us free, that original Christmas tree was the cross of Jesus. To me, the cross will always be the original Christmas tree, because Christ came to earth for a purpose and for a reason, and that purpose was to give us life. And he lived his life, his ministry, teaching us about love, acceptance, obedience, trust, faith, sacrificial faith and love, to the point that he went to the cross and died for us. So I want us to look again to see the purpose for which God sent his Son to this earth. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Today we're just going to look at two verses. They're very familiar verses to a lot of us, especially if we have, over the years as a child, read the Christmas story. But it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." The message that was sent to earth was this: a Savior has been born to you. The angel said, "You will find a baby," but the angel did not say, "God has given us a baby." He said, "God has given us a Savior. I am giving you the one that you have been longing for. I think sometimes during the Christmas season, and we say this all the time, but I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of what true Christmas means. I mean, as we look at all of the decorations that we put up and all the things that we do, and there's countless numbers of nativity scenes that are out there. I know in my family, we had many different nativity scenes. Even Jen and I have probably four or five, maybe, different nativity scenes that have been handed down to us by my family and her family. And one of my jobs when I was a little guy, like Nick's age and younger, was my job was to put up those cardboard nativity scenes, you know, where you put the little thing in the slot and you put it up. That was my job every year to do that, and I used to look forward to that. I think we look at that small child in the nativity scene. We forget, though, that Christ's whole reason for coming was to be our Savior. So let us remember that God did not place our gifts under the tree in beautifully wrapped and decorated boxes, but instead He placed our greatest gift on the tree, Christ on the cross. Christmas really is about the Savior, and therefore the original Christmas tree was the cross. Now, perhaps for some of you that may seem graphic for your imagination to take in, but it is certainly true. And make no mistake, the whole reason for Christmas is that we needed a Savior. We needed someone to come into this world. We didn't need a baby, we needed a Savior. But Jesus came as a small child, the greatest gift that has ever been given, was born in a manger, in a box of straw, coming because we live broken lives. And it was that child who grew to be a man who fixed the broken, who brought whole, made people whole. Lives broken by sin, but repaired by the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. I read a story recently of a woman who was in her living room, and she was busy decorating her Christmas tree. And next to her was her teenage daughter. The mother was talking about how all the work that she had to do, and she says, "I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get all this stuff done, and I'm kind of stressing over it." And her daughter said, "Well, Mom, you know, I'll help you if I don't have to go with you to visit Uncle Jim." The mother says, "Nice try. You're going." Her mother says, "But I don't want to go because there are murderers there and men who beat their wives and bad people. I don't want to go there." And she kind of, as teenagers do, you know, she kind of, And as she was walking away, she noticed a box that had some ornaments in it. And she just picked up one at random. And she noticed that the ornament she picked up was kind of broken. And she kind of sighed and kind of disappointed. And the mother saw her and she walked over and she sat down with her daughter and she said, "You know, that ornament is a very special ornament." She says, "When I was a child," she said, "my dad, when I was 6 years old, my dad, he made that ornament. And every year we would put it on the Christmas tree. And my brother Jim, there was just something about that ornament that attracted him, and he would take that ornament and he'd take it off the tree and he'd sit there and he'd just look at it. And, you know, that ornament is a lot like your Uncle Jim. He's broken, just like this ornament. But you see, Uncle Jim is precious to God because God created him." The mother smiled and said, "You know, God can fix Uncle Jim of his brokenness." And she hugged her daughter. And she said, "We can fix this ornament." The daughter said, "Yes, Mom. Let's do that." And then as soon as we're done, let's go visit Uncle Jim together. I tell you that story because I think we all know someone in our life whose life is broken. And maybe it's a son or a daughter, maybe it's a mother or a father or someone close to you that's life has just been broken. Maybe it's been broken because of bad choices they made or decisions they made or mistakes that they've made in life that they're still dealing with. Maybe they're broken not because of anything they did, but because of something, somebody did something to them or just a situation that was out of control. All of us are broken in one way or another. Probably all of us have been broken at some time in our lives. And maybe some of you here today feel like you are like that ornament. You're just broken and you don't know what to do. Well, we know that Jesus came, died on that original Christmas tree to bring restoration to the broken lives. And I pray today that those of us who feel broken today, and I can stand here today and say, you know, I have days when I feel I'm broken. I have days when I feel like I'm useless. I have days when I feel like, what's the point? Some of you feel that way sometimes. Like Jesus came, and I have to be reminded of this, and I'm fortunate enough to have people around me that will, you know, give me the old holy hand slap or whatever and say, snap out of it. But sometimes the weirdest things happen where God kind of says, taps me on the shoulder, as I'm sure he does you, and says, you're precious in my sight. I created you, and I can bring wholeness to you. You don't have to live your life broken. But let's think about the Christmas tree for a moment. I mean, if you could choose a part of this Christmas tree that would be the most humble part of the Christmas tree, what would it be? And I thought about that this week, and I thought, you know, probably the most humble part of the Christmas tree is the trunk of the tree, the center part, right? Because everything comes from that. But there's another part of the Christmas tree that's probably humble as well, and that's the very top. The highest point, which reminds us of the most celebrated place on the tree. The true, it's so true because that's where Christ died. That's where he spoke. That's where he said the words, forgive them for they know not what they do. Into thy spirit I commit my soul. We see the humbleness of which he came as he was laid in a manger made of wood that was the humble cradle of our Christ. We see the center part is our relationship with Christ, which creates for us the fullness of God's beauty, his love, his grace, his mercy. The top, we see the crown, the high point of God's reign and rule over life and death. Now how he defeated the grave. And how even before that, he went to Calvary and died on the cross for us. The first original Christmas tree, the cross. Today I want you to consider just a couple things. As we dig in now into the sermon notes, the first thing is we need to remember the humble cradle of our Lord. And that is the fact that this Christmas reminds us of the humbleness of Jesus coming to us. Placed in that wooden manger, because as you know the story, there was no room for the inn. I saw a cartoon this last week that made me kind of chuckle. You know, sometimes this time of the year you get a lot of those cartoons, Christmas cartoons. And there was a scene where Joseph and Mary are sitting in the manger, and baby Jesus is in the manger, and they're sitting there, and Mary is sitting down and she's shaking her head, and Joseph is standing there, and he goes, okay, I'm sorry, I forgot to call ahead and get a room. I'm sorry. But I can just imagine the Christmas story of how they traveled this long distance, and they get to Jerusalem, or they get to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them. But in his humbleness, he was born in a manger. Some might say it was a weak form, but what God was bringing about was anything but weak. It was the strong power of God that was placed in the manger. But do you realize that in order for us to receive God's magnificent, his mighty power, that we too need to come humbly to God? I was reminded that this week. This week we had, surprisingly, more people coming by the church. I had a bunch of people come in one day within a couple-hour period of needing some clothes, and it struck me, and I've had this thing before, but for some reason it just struck me as I was standing there listening to them talk about the clothes that was there and taking our hygiene kit that we gave them and how grateful they were for it. One man just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was a very humbling experience because I realized here I was giving them an opportunity to get some clothes, some jackets, and some things for them to have. And I was thinking, you know, I can go and just go up and put on a jacket. I can go and get me something to eat and I don't even think about it. And I can just go and do whatever, you know, get whatever I need, and it's so available to me, and I just started to cry. Because I realized at that moment how often we become kind of blind to the reality that we've been given so much. And oftentimes we're so leery about giving it away. And we oftentimes live in such comfort that we take it for granted. And we just kind of expect it to be there. Talking to one of the young men, he was so worried and so stressed out that the idea that we gave him a hygiene kit just brightened his day. And I think today how often we get caught up in trying to do the right thing for ourselves that we miss the point. We must be able to reach into ourselves and humbly admit that we're broken because of sin. That sometimes we need to be kind of brought back to reality, that it's only through God and Jesus that we can be made whole again. We lose sight of it. We take things for granted. So this Christmas, we are reminded of the humble cradle. But also, we need to be reminded of the honoring cross. Jesus came to earth to do the will of God the Father. And this is how the Son honored his Father, by being obedient to God's will. As you look at the Christmas tree this year, I do hope it reminds you of the obedience Jesus had in honoring his Father, even to the point of giving placing his life on that original Christmas tree, the cross. But it reminds me today also what I gained out of that humble experience this week is, do we honor God with our obedience? Oftentimes I think God, and I've heard stories of people say that God was spoke to them, and you know, I kind of wonder, well, what was your reaction when God spoke to you? And sometimes the reaction is, well, I said, here I am, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I've heard stories of missionaries who quit jobs and moved their families overseas. I've heard stories of people who quit their own jobs to do what God was leading them to do, which moved them from living a life of leisure to a life of stress. And I think sometimes when God speaks to us, sometimes we say, you know, that sounds great, God, but it's not part of my calendar right now. My calendar's pretty full. Or it might be, I like that, God, but it's just not me. Remember Moses? And God spoke to Moses, and Moses said, that's not me, man. You need to get somebody. I don't even speak well. Don't go with me. But God convinced him. And there's other stories in the Bible of people God chose, and their first response was, are you kidding me? Sometimes we say, no, God, I can't do that right now. I want to wait. I want to wait until my kids get out of school and get out of the house, or I want to wait till I get a better job, or I want to wait until my finances are settled. I want to wait till I get the car paid off. I want to wait. I want to wait. I want to wait. Once that's done, God, then you're mine. Then I'm all yours. We need to honor God today. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. It was his humbleness and his honoring the Father on the cross that made us be able to celebrate Christmas this year. Beyond the cross of Christmas, the original Christmas tree, we find those wonderful sweet words, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us, doesn't it? I think sometimes we need to remember that. We are not alone. God is with us. So this Christmas, let us remember the humble cradle, let us remember the honoring cross, and then finally, let us remember the heavenly crown. And when I think about that, I remember those three wise men, the three magi who came from the east. It says in Matthew 2, 1 and 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? They came to Herod and they said, where is he? We keep seeing this light in the sky, this star, and we've been following it, but we wanted to know where it says he's to be born. Which is a weird thing for them to ask, because these are educated men. These are men who know the prophecies. They know Scripture. But they also knew that they weren't trying to find a baby. They knew all too well that they would find more than a child in a manger, that they were going to find the King. You see, Jesus really was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the crown of heaven and of earth. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus wears the heavenly crown. as ruler over all creation, heaven and earth. And because of God's great love for you, he sent a Savior. Broken as we were, Jesus, through his work on the cross, the original Christmas tree, he has made you whole. But you first must trust him. Today, if you feel you are broken, today, if you feel like you know someone who is broken in your life, someone who needs to be made whole, someone maybe you've been praying for, someone maybe you've been really concerned about, and you're not sure how to approach it, I would start by sharing with them the greatest gift of Christmas. Certainly not a gift that we would go out and spend money on and wrap it up. The price has already been paid. The greatest gift that's ever been given in life is Jesus. Please, this year, remember the humble cradle, the manger. Remember the honoring cross. Remember our obedience to Jesus. Never forget the heavenly crown, for he truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, as we move from this Sunday, tomorrow night we'll be celebrating Christmas Eve, and then Tuesday, Christmas Day, the day we remember the birth of our Son, our Lord and Savior. Please do not forget the cross. Please do not forget how humble, the humbleness in which Jesus came into this world. There's a lot of broken people out there who need Jesus. Not just this time of the year, but throughout the year. Let us all say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for bringing light into our lives. Thank you for showing us love. And thank you for going to the cross, that original Christmas tree, shedding your blood so that we may have life, the great life. Jesus said, "In you, you will do far more than me." Can you even imagine what that is? Can you even imagine that he has said that we are going to do far more than he did? We need to be obedient to that. Let us all live out this holiday season with a smile, with joy, and with love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that you will certainly guide us and direct us during this holiday season. I know that, it's so easy to get caught up in all of the stuff. And, you know, we drive around and look at all the Christmas lights. We decorate the tree. We decorate our homes and our churches. We hear the story once again, and the kids dream of Santa Claus, and Lord, sometimes we get so caught up in all of that that we forget what truly Christmas is about. Jesus came, your Son came to be a Savior. All those who came to the manger that night, the shepherds, the wise men who came later, they came because they were impacted by the news. And they left changed forever. My hope and my prayer is that through your Holy Spirit upon this place, that we leave here rejoicing, ready to proclaim the story, ready to share the announcement, ready to proclaim your grace, your love, your mercy. To the world, to the people closest to us, that in our brokenness we can find restoration and renewal, that we can be made whole. For this I pray in your name, in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen.